You know, as we get into it today, I want to let you know, this week has been a challenge for your pastor. You may or may not know there are weeks where I have hard weeks. I'm a human, right? I have to remind myself sometimes of that. It's been difficult this week. A lot of distractions, a lot of things going on in people's lives. And I had a hard time putting the message together. It was actually, it's an intro, so it's basic. But sometimes there are just those barriers, right? Spiritual warfare around your life comes and sometimes just makes it difficult. And so it's been a stress, it's been a challenge, and been difficult. So give your pastor some grace today. And I'm thankful for the word of God because it's living and active and incredible, regardless of the deliverer. Amen? Look past anything today and just hear what the Lord's speaking today to you. Amen? So we're talking about the names of God and the importance of knowing the God behind the name. So you can't fully trust somebody that you don't know. Would you agree? Every name that God reveals gives us another reason to trust him. There are hundreds of names in the Bible that refer to God. Now, again, we're not going to go through them all today or even for the next few weeks. It would be impossible. We're going to highlight a few. All right. But he reveals himself by different names so that we can get to know him in a personal way. Not just one name, high and mighty, serve me, multiple names, so that as we as individuals, sons and daughters, can know him in a more intimate, a more personal, a more loving, a more caring way. That's the God that we serve. Isn't that amazing? The Bible talks about the power of life and death in our tongue, right? It's good or evil. Have you ever noticed that there's power in a name? How many of you have ever looked up the meaning of your particular name? Raise your hand. Okay? All right. Most of you. It's incredible. Names have meaning. They have power. They actually, when spoken, are creating the whatever. It's Jesus spoke in Genesis, "Let there be light," right? So our names carry meaning. And I would encourage you, if you haven't looked up your name, the meaning of your name or your middle name, do that. Incredible. My name means Michelle, which means, no pressure, who is like God. So didn't have much choice to love Jesus, right? So that's, and then my middle name is Renee, which means reborn. And so again, like names carry meanings, right? They have purposes. When you hear a certain name, things come to mind, right? Like, for instance, when I say the word mom, you think of a person. You think about comfort, sacrifice, love, or you might think of hurt and pain, because sometimes those things are connected. What if I say the word coach or grandpa, right? Those things evoke emotions and memories and feelings, right? Proverbs 22:1 says, "A good name is more desirable than riches to be esteemed, better than silver or gold." Names have meaning. Your name has meaning. God's name and names have meaning. A name is never just a name. It carries a story. It has history. Meaning. It carries relationship. Oftentimes, people might name others after other people. One of our grandsons is named after Chuck's middle name. The other one's named after my grandfather's name. Those things carry meaning and value, right? In our culture, names often are chosen because they sound good, because they honor someone, right? But in the Bible, names meant so much more, all right? Which is pretty cool. They revealed character, identity, reputation. Some of those names even represented purpose. That's why throughout Scripture, God reveals himself through many names. Not because he changes. God never changes, right? But because one name could not fully describe him. An infinite God who created everything that we know could not be described with just one name. Every name he reveals gives us just another glimpse into who he is, into his heart. And that's what this series is going to be about this month. Not simply learning names, but knowing the God behind the name. I think some of you could use that, right? To get to know the God behind some of these other names. Some of you might feel God's really far away, really distant. He wants to come close. Because again, there's something we already know, right? You can't fully trust somebody you don't know. Trust grows through relationship. Christ wants to have a relationship with you. The more we know somebody's character, the more we can trust them because you've seen it lived out. The same is true with God. Many people believe God exists, but knowing facts about God is different than knowing him personally. There are lots of people that can know the scripture, but not allow the scripture to transform them, right? That's our big deal with our kids back there. We don't want them to just know information. We want them to be transformed by what they know because they know the God of the Bible, not just the facts. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right? We need to know the Bible. We need to be illiterate. We need to understand, absolutely. But more than anything, we want to be transformed by him. So let me ask you a question. You don't have to answer it out loud, but kind of let it percolate inside. When you hear the word God, what picture comes to your mind? Do you see him as loving? Do you see him as distant? Maybe you see him as disappointed in you. Maybe you see him as faithful and good or someone you can trust. The reality is right now, if everyone had to answer that question, you would have a way that you see him. Maybe more importantly, the question is, where did that picture come from? Did it come from scripture? Or did it come from a bad experience? Somebody that was maybe trying to represent Jesus and God and didn't do a good job? Or did it actually come from knowing God's heart and being in the word? Maybe it came from things that happened to you, so therefore you got a bad version of who he is. Because what we believe about God shapes how we respond to him. That's true. The devil is a liar, and he wants you to believe that God is far and distant, and he doesn't care about you. That's the things that the enemy wants to do because he wants you to keep you far away from God as possible. Because the closer we get to God, right, we get changed by him. All of a sudden, the things of the world grow dim and the things that we're struggling with start to melt off because in his presence, right, we're changed. But when we're out in the world and we're messing around with the world, no wonder we look like it and smell like it, right? You get what you put in. If you drive through McDonald's and you leave with McDonald's, you eat McDonald's, it's McDonald's, right? It's not. So you get what you do. You get what you put in, right? Garbage in, garbage out. Sometimes it's not rocket science. You know, we wonder, Lord, where are you in my life? I have all these problems. I have all this stuff going on. I'm in a circle and cycle. And God's like, well, you know, the stuff you've been watching, the things you've been listening to, the people you're hanging out with, none of them have anything to do with me. You know, for starters, you know, we got to help ourselves, right? He's a good father. He wants to help us be delivered and free and healed, but we also got to participate. He doesn't force us. His love is full of grace, right? You see, if we believe God is distant, then guess what? We stop praying. If we believe God is angry, we hide from him, we isolate, we run. If we believe God is faithful, though, then we trust him even when it's difficult. You see the difference? That's why the enemy doesn't want you to know, wants to keep you away from knowing God is faithful and good. Because when you know it, doesn't matter what else is going on because you can trust him. Right? But if the enemy's keeping you isolated and away and you're in fear, you're believing all the lies, guess what? Right? We got to help ourselves too. Participate with God. Amen? That's why knowing who God is matters. So today we're going to talk about one God, right? The I Am. Yahweh. Say the name with me. Yahweh. Yahweh. It's really beautiful because if you breathe in, Yah, and breathe out, way, it's literally breath. The breath of God, Yahweh, right? The most sacred name of God in the Bible. It means I am who I am. The greatest sentence in the Bible. I am who I am, period. Emphasizing his eternal and unchanging nature. This name signifies God's self-existence and sovereignty. In the Old Testament, and different scholars say different things, but it occurs over 6,000 times in the Old Testament. Yahweh. Different variations of that. Who God is. Yahweh. I am who I am. There's a couple other names that I'm going to share with you just briefly. Again, we're not going to get into them, and then we're going to go back to the I am. These are ones that you might recognize. Maybe you don't. All right. So Elohim. How many have heard of that one? Okay. Creator. Mighty. Strong. All right. Adonai. How many have heard of that one? Right. Lord or Master. El Shaddai, yeah, right? God Almighty, All Sufficient One. How many need that, right? El Shaddai, All Sufficient. That means whatever you need, he's got. The great El Shaddai. El Elyon, God Most High. El Roy, I love this one. Hagar gave it to him. The God who sees me. Emmanuel, God with us, right? There's more descriptive ones. Jehovah Jireh, right? The Lord will provide. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. Amen? Jehovah Nisi, the Lord is my banner. Jehovah Shalom, right? The Lord is my peace. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord my shepherd. Jehovah Shammah, which you'll hear about next week. The Lord is there. Abba, which just means Father. Have you ever cried out in a prayer time? Abba, Father, I need you, right? Ancient of Days, he's the eternal judge. And there are more, hundreds. There are hundreds of names. Every book of the Bible is a descriptive of how he interacted with people. In Genesis, he's the breath of life. In Exodus, he's the Passover lamb, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he's God, man, Messiah. Every single book of the Bible shows a character of how he relates to people, to us. Anybody feeling like he's pretty awesome and loves us a lot? But yet, how many times does culture or do we even sometimes go, I don't think God loves me. I think he doesn't really care. But yet he has expressed himself in so many ways. We just haven't tapped into it enough. Amen? Amen. So turn with me to Exodus chapter 3. We're going to talk a little bit about Moses, his experience. You guys doing all right? Great. Thank you. Thanks for the grace today, because, yeah, it's Exodus 3. All right, so we're going to look at verses 13 through 15 in a minute, but the story you guys know well, most of you do, right? Moses, the burning bush, right? He's in the wilderness. Years earlier, he had tried to help God's people in his own strength, and of course, that ended in failure, because it always will when we try to do it on our own, right? He ran away, spent 40 years in the desert, tending sheep. Then one ordinary day became anything but ordinary form from him, right? He was doing what he always did. And all of a sudden, he sees a bush and it's on fire. But it's not being burnt up. It's on fire, but it's not being burnt up. And all of a sudden, from within that burning bush that's not burning up, he hears his name. He hears the word Moses. Now, I can't imagine what that was like. How many of you have seen The Prince of Egypt, the cartoon version? All right. So that's a great visual of it. I don't know if that's exactly how it happened, but for me, that feels like that's a pretty good interpretation. From that bush came this booming voice that says, Moses, right? Real deep, real powerful. That would get your attention when you're used to being out in the desert with sheep and not a whole lot's going on, right? You'd be like, oh, okay, I'm hearing booming voices. God tells Moses he has chosen him to go back, to the place they just had come from, to Egypt, and lead the Israelites out of slavery. Can you just picture yourself there, right? You've been in seclusion, you know. God finds you, shows up in a burning bush, and he's telling you, I want you to go free the people. Well, I would be very much like Moses. I'd start asking some questions. Like, first of all, who am I to do that? What if they don't believe me, right? What if Pharaoh, the leader of it all, doesn't listen to me, right? These are legitimate questions that anybody would be asking from a burning bush voice that's telling you that you're going to go lead people out of slavery. Then Moses asks the most important question. So let's turn to Exodus 3, 13 through 15. Go back and read the, it's just such a great story, but we'll look at verse 13. But Moses protested. I understand. If I go to the people of Israel and tell them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they will ask me, what is his name? What is his name? Then what should I tell them? Verse 14, God replies to Moses. And again, I'm sure in a booming, loud, thunderous way. I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel. Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my eternal name, my name to remember for all generations. That's why we're starting there with today, the name I am. That is the beginning. That is who he is. Everything else flows out of that I am. So next time you wonder in your life that you're not, fill in the blank. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I don't have it figured out. Whatever that is, right? Remember this. That's okay. You're not. He is. I am. He's got it. Doesn't that cool? He is. I am. We don't have to have it all figured out. He does. He rules. He reigns over it all. We're his kids. And as children who are supposed to be growing in maturity, but as children, we kind of get the benefit of the doubt and some grace because we're learning. Isn't that awesome? So take some deep breaths in this thing called following Jesus. Take some deep breath. God's with you. Sometimes we're so hard on ourselves, you know? We really are. I am. Moses protested, if I go to the people and tell them, the God of the ancestors has sent you, what is his name? I am is the one who sent me. Moses wasn't asking for a name because he needed something to call God. He was asking this: who are you? What kind of God are you? Can I even trust you? Because if he's going to lead the people, he's got to know who this God is that's asking him to do this, right? And then God simply answers, I am who I am, revealing his character. He's saying this: I've always existed and I always will. I don't depend on anyone and I do not change. You see, guys, everything in our lives changes. So one thing for certain that you can bet on, life is going to change. People change, circumstances change, our emotions change, our plans change, but God stays the same. Hebrews 13:8 says this: Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. The God who spoke to Moses is the same God who walks with us today. Pretty cool. I've never been out on a walk and had a burning bush voice talk to me, but that would be pretty cool. The God who is faithful then is still faithful now. The God who kept his promises then, you get the, still keeps them today. He's not a God that's becoming. He just has always been. I am. All right? So one God, I am. Next up, one God, many names, right? If God is one God, why does Scripture reveal so many names? Well, we already talked about that. One name cannot fully describe everything about him. A name represents reputation, identity, authority. That's why all the biblical names mattered. Every name reveals and tells us something different about God. If you think of a diamond, for any of you that have either seen a diamond or have a diamond is one piece of jewelry. But if you look at it under a microscope, you can see the many facets of it, the different sides and angles, right? Still one diamond, just many ways that it can be viewed and seen. Same thing with the Lord. One God, many names, many ways to see him and experience him, right? Turn with me to Genesis chapter 22, verse 14. It says, Abraham named the place Yahweh Yireh, which means the Lord will provide. To this day, people still use that name as a proverb: on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides. When Israel needed healing, God revealed himself to them as healer. Exodus 15, 26 says this. He said, if you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, obeying his commands and keeping all his decrees, next slide, then I will not make you suffer any of the disease I sent on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that heals you. I am the Lord who heals you. I've been claiming that promise. Anybody else? Anybody else need some healing in the room? Yeah. He doesn't just heal then, he heals today. When Gideon was afraid, God revealed himself as peace. Judges 6:24 says, and Gideon built an altar to the Lord, and he named it Yahweh Shalom, which means the Lord is peace. The altar remains in Orpha in the land of the clan of Abiezer to this day, the Lord of peace, Shalom. When David looked back over his life, he knew and experienced God as shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. Names of God that represent relationship to people and how that connection was. Every name tells a story. Every name reveals another part of God's character. So beautiful. God does not change. But as we walk through life, as you walk through life, we'll discover new depths of his character and his love. He's the same God. He doesn't change. We change. And as we walk with him, we get to learn different levels of that, different sides, different facets of who he is and how that relates to our life. Isn't that beautiful? Sometimes we don't understand God as provider until we need him to provide. We don't fully understand God as peace until we're going through anxiety. We don't fully understand God as shepherd until we find ourselves lost and in need of rest, right? Psalm 9:10 says, "Those who know your name trust in you. For you, O Lord, do not abandon those who search for you." I'm going to say that again. Those who know your name trust in you. For you, O Lord, do not abandon those who search for you. One God, many names. The last part we're going to talk about is this. One God, endless grace. The most amazing thing about God revealing himself to us is this. He already knows everything about us. He made us. He designed us in your mom's womb. He put everything about who you are, your destiny, your life. He already knows. And when he called Moses to deliver the Israelites, he knew Moses' past. He knew the failures. He knew the fears. He knew every excuse that Moses was going to come up with. And yet he still called him. Guys, same with us. God knows where we're at. He knows the things that we're struggling with. You see, that's grace. God does not reveal himself because we've earned it. He reveals himself to us in these ways because he loves us. Isn't that beautiful? He loves us. Exodus 34, 6 through 7 says this. The Lord passed in front of Moses, calling out, "Yahweh, the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy. I am slow to anger." Isn't that great? Some of us need to learn from that. "And filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. I lavish unfailing love to 1,000 generations. I forgive iniquity and rebellion and sin, but I do not excuse the guilty. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children and their grandchildren. The entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generations." When God introduced himself, he begins with grace. "I am the Lord God of compassion and mercy." Yeah, he judges sin, of course. He can't be around it. But he's a God of compassion. He's a God of mercy. Some of you in here deal with not thinking you're good enough or your sin is taking you too far. God is a God of compassion and a God of mercy. He says, "Come to me," right? "Bring your sin to me. Ask for forgiveness and God will forgive." Every name of God ultimately points us to Jesus. Colossians 2:9 says, "For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body." If we want to know what God is like, we look at Jesus, right? He was 100% God, 100% man. Watch him touch the untouchable. Watch him forgive sinners. Watch him welcome little children. That gives us a view of who he is, right? We can watch how he calms the storms and feeds the hungry. How he knelt down and washed dirty feet. Ultimately, we get to watch Jesus put his hands out, right, on a cross and die for the sins of humankind, for our sin, right? Ultimately laying down his life for us. Endless grace. John 14:9, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." The name of God reveals his character. Jesus reveals his heart, and the cross ultimately reveals his grace. That's available to everyone, no matter where you come from, no matter where you've been. Romans 5:8 says, "But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us." What? While we had it all figured out? No. While we were still sinners. He knew. And yet Christ came to die for us, knowing where we're at. That is endless grace. You see, grace finds us, forgives us, changes us, ultimately carries us. Aren't you thankful for the grace of God in our lives? My prayer is, again, in this series, that we're going to study some names of God, certainly. But more than that is that you can get to know him in an even deeper, greater way. Okay, someone's having trouble with the internet. My goal is, though, that you would be able to connect in. See, right there, it's a perfect example. Sometimes our internets aren't connecting with God, right? We need the service that's always connecting with God, right? That was a perfect example. Whoever that was, thank you for that illustration. That's beautiful. But isn't it true, right? So plug in, right? Plug in to the presence of God, to the Word of God. If you're struggling in sin, come to the altar. Ask him to forgive you. If you're depressed and you're hopeless, come into his presence so that the joy of the Lord can become your strength, right? If you're feeling alone and that you don't have community, well, we have a lot of options. Connect in, right? Everybody here, I'm sure, has a cell phone, right? This thing can only go so long, right? Before all of a sudden you're like, oh, right? Runs out of battery. And then what do we have to do? We have to take it and plug it into some source, the electricity, to get it filled back up. Same with us. Don't think you can just go out and do all the things on your own. Eventually, you're going to have a red light flashing, and you're going to need to plug back in to the source, which is God, which is his presence, which is his grace, right? We go back to Psalm 9:10. Those who know your name trust in you. The goal is to discover him as provider. Maybe you need that today, or healer, or peace, or shepherd. Every name points us back to the same truth. Every name. God is faithful. God is good. And God is full of grace, not for the person next to you. God is full of grace for you. The God who revealed his name to Moses is the same God who knows your name today. Worship team, if you guys would come on up and get set up, we're going to close in a song. Today, God is inviting us to move beyond simply just knowing about him, right? And begin truly knowing him. Maybe you came in today needing to know God as your provider because you're facing a need that you cannot meet on your own. You literally are like, I need you to be provider. Maybe you came in today and you need God to be your peace because your heart is overwhelmed. Life is taking you in a dark place. You need his peace. Maybe today you need to know him as shepherd because you feel uncertain about where you're at. Guess what? Shepherds do. They lead and you can follow. Maybe you need to know him as your healer because there's a place in your life that just needs that special touch from God. Whatever that is today, remember this. God has already revealed who he is. He's not distant. He's not hiding. He's a God that calls you by name, a God who invites us to come closer. The question is not whether God is faithful. The question is whether we will trust him. Will we trust the God who says, I am whatever you need. I am the healer. I am, you fill it in. Will we trust that God? Will we believe that he is enough when we're not? Will we surrender our fears and our failures and our future? Will we surrender that into his hand and trust him? That's the goal. Because when you know the God behind the name, you discover that the one who created you is the one who loves you, who leads you, and never lets you go. Amen?